Hashem.
Prabto yasya patita kripaya shiram tavnatos. Vande ham Sri Guru Sri Atav Padakamalam Sri Guru Naishnavamstra Sri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Rakunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Today is the anniversary of the disappearance from this world of Srila Rasikananda Deva and also Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Great acharyas in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. About Rasikananda Dev, I compiled that book, which has just been reprinted after quite some time out of print. Rasikananda was, he was one of the greatest preachers of Krishna consciousness in the history of this world, in this Kali Yuga. As a disciple of Shyamananda Pandit, he preached Krishna consciousness widely in Utkal Pradesh, that means nowadays called Orisha. His base, Sripat, is at Gopijana Vallapur, which is now comes under West Bengal. He preached very widely by holding festivals, attracting people, meeting with people. He was very learned in Shastra. He would defeat pundits on the basis of Shastra. He also brought many Muslims to Krishna consciousness and people who are just wild and very nasty, demoniac in their behavior. And many landlords or kings, they also became his disciples. And his legacy continues to the present day, that although it's much diminished, like everything else good in Kali Yuga, diminishes. We can't expect anything good in Kali Yuga. But until recently, Shyamananda Sampradaya, of which he was the main preacher. Shyamananda Pandit and himself, they preached together. And then afterward, Rasikananda continued. And they're a very powerful force, guru and disciple. And then the disciple himself became the guru of so many, many, many others. So until recently that, but still the influence of it is going on, but like I say, like everything else, everything is going down. I was just speaking with a devotee recently who said that in his childhood, he's about 30 years old, I guess, in every village in Orissa, there'd be a kirtan group, which the local people would, be the kirtan group, but now, no, it's not there. So you see how things are going down. So kirtan group, that would mostly be in the Shyamanandi Sampradaya, which means under the influence of Rasikananda Dev. And still his descendants are there at Gopi Ballapur. I visited there a couple of times. It's a very remote place. It's in Naxalite territory, so it's not so easy. You can go in the daytime without a problem, but don't travel at night. His descendants are still there, still worshipping the deities very nicely, although They used to be very, well, they're still very aristocratic in their culture and their behavior, but they're now, they used to be very wealthy also, but now they're not. And in that sampradaya, many learned scholars and acharyas came out, but again, everything is going down. Rasikananda there, yeah, he appeared just about 100 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the time frame. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj appeared in the early 19th century, according to the Christian era. There are different opinions about that exactly, but he lived for a very long age, well over 100 years. And he was a typical Babaji. When we say typical Babaji, well, a Babaji is not a typical person. They're quite different from everyone in the world. Everyone in the world is trying to enjoy it, but the Babajis, they renounce the world and live very austerely, eating and sleeping extremely little, and accepting nothing for the comfort of their body. To engage in the service of Krishna, bhajan. They are bhajanānandis. Mostly the Babajis are bhajanānandis. They're not goshyanandis. Bhajanānandi means one who is simply absorbed day and night in hearing and chanting about Krishna. And they may also worship deities. In the case of Jagannath Das Babaji, he worshipped deities for quite a long period during his life, but they don't go out for preaching much. Some of the Babajis did. But Jagannath Das Babaji, no, he wasn't a preacher as such. He didn't have a goshti. Goshti means a group. He didn't have a group of people he preached among. He would go from place to place sometimes. There are some records that he went with Bhaktivinoda Thakur sometimes to some villages, and they would have hearing and chanting all day and night. Bhaktivinoda Thakur took him, Jagannath, or they went together to, what is the name of that place? Just not remembering now. One of the places that Bhaktivinoda Thakur made as a Bhaktivinoda Asana or Namahata. I just can't remember. So anyway, he went there with Jagannath Das. So it's not that Jagannath Das would give lectures or anything, but he'd go to a place and just do what he was doing, chant Hare Krishna, and people would be inspired by that. So, Jagannath, he was atypical of many Babajis of the period also in one way, another way, that many of the people that became Babajis, they weren't able to maintain hearing and chanting about Krishna all day and night. You have to be very advanced to do that. And so some of them, or if not many of them, fell into illicit sexual relationships. And I've personally seen among Babajis in Bengal and Vrindavan that they'll do the they have programs of bhajan, they do lots of kirtan and this and that, but they're often very, they seem to be very petty-minded also and political among themselves. Because they're not really, it seems that they're not really getting a higher taste. It's not so easy just to be a Babaji. So, Jagannath Das Babaji was unique in as much as he was Siddha. He was known as Siddha Jagannath Das Babaji. It means he'd actually achieved the perfection of being fully in Krishna consciousness. And that was noted by others. So I mentioned that he was, he would sometimes go to places with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This was when Jagannath Das was already very old. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also not young, he was also well known and established as a great Vaishnava, and even within the within secular circles, he was a highly respected person. For many years, Jagannath Das, he performed bhajan in Rajamandal. He had one servant with him, Bihari Das Babaji, because when he got very old, he couldn't walk here and there, so Bihari, who was very strong, his name was Bihari Das. It wasn't a Bihari, it was from Bengal. But he would carry Jagannath Das here and there in a basket on his head. Sometimes Jagannath Das sent Bihari, you get for me some deities. So he got such beautiful deities of Gaur Nithai, Ashtadhatu, made of eight metals, that people thought they were made of gold, and some robbers came to steal them. But Gaur Nithai didn't want to go, so they didn't go. But then after that, Jagannath Das, he told Bihari that you take them, you give them to someone else. There's too much disturbance here. So then he got another deity, and so those deities are still being worshipped in the Vrindavan area. But then Jagannath Das came to Navadvip area, and he lived in, even though he was very old when he came to Navadvip, he lived for many years, more than 30 years in Navadvip also. His ashram is still there. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would associate with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in a list of Paramparara Acharyas. He places Jagannath Das after Baladev Vidyabhushan, although there's quite some time between the departure of Baladev and the appearance of Jagannath Das, which sometimes confuses devotees, but it's understood that this list of the Parampara devotees is a list of the prominent devotees in our sampradaya. It's not necessarily that Baladev... It's not that Baladev initiated Jagannath Das, and for that matter, nor did Jagannath Das initiate Bhaktivinoda, who didn't initiate Gaurkishore. Actually, Gaurkishore initiated Bhaktivinoda into the bhik, into the order, Babaji order. And for that matter, we see that, in fact, the first initiation that we get in that whole line from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you see the list of acharyas written, the first initiation comes after Bhaktisiddhanta. I mean, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't initiate six Goswamis. They didn't initiate Krishnadas Kaviraj. He didn't initiate Vishwanath. He didn't initiate Baladev. Baladev didn't initiate Jagannath. Jagannath didn't initiate Bhaktivinoda. Bhaktivinoda didn't initiate Gaurkishore. Gaurkishore initiated Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. That was the first in that line. So it's not a Diksha line. From after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the line that is given is not a Diksha line. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was associating with Jagannath Das, who was in a very different person. Jagannath Das was not highly educated. Gaurkishore, not at all formally educated. And Kedarnath Datta, as he was known in secular life, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was very well educated, both materially and in terms of Shastra. He was very learned. The Babajis, they leave the world. They don't have any connection with the world. Even if from a Brahmin family, when you become a Babaji, you take off the thread. That's all mundane designations are gone. You take the position of a Paramahamsa. You have nothing to do with this world. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very much involved in it. as a magistrate, that's very much involved. It's in getting involved with all different people's problems, and well, specifically their crimes, or their, of course, there are different kinds of magistrates. There are civil cases also to be judged. It may not be crimes, but disagreements. And of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had many children. So it appears to be quite the opposite. One is Jagannath Das is completely renounced. Bhaktivinoda Thakur appears to be very attached to this world. But both are great Vaishnavas. Both are great acharyas. And after Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the next great preacher, acharya, is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who again seems to be very different from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur's householder, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a sannyasi, and again very different from his guru, who was a Babaji, like Jagannath Das Babaji. So, just like this, the Babajis, they're withdrawn. They're not respectable members of society by any means. They give up all prestige and even hope of any, at least externally. Of course, you get some other prestige may come by being so renounced, and then people may start to think that you're something great. Well, if you are actually renounced, then, well, that is something great. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he lived as an acharya of the modern age. Renounced from the world, he didn't have family connections, he didn't have personal money, but he lived in a manner in which he could interact with people of this world, so that he could preach to them. If you don't interact with people, you can't preach with them. Preaching is person to person. It's not just wishing them the best from a distance. So the Babajis, they left the world. They didn't want to associate with materialistic people. They just want to concentrate on Krishna. Whereas the acharyas who come and preach in the world, they do mix with the people of the world to some extent. They maintain the difference also, just like by their very dress. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in the dress of a sannyasi, is a very different dress to that of other people. And the way of life is very different. Living in a mutt is different to living in a house. And having a program of sadhana in the morning. Of course, until recently in India, everyone had some kind of religious program in the morning. It was a common thing. People would rise early and they'd do puja or japa or various activities like this. That was the first thing in the day for everyone in India. And still you find some people, you'll see them in the morning, they're collecting flowers, they're out collecting flowers. It means they're doing puja at home. But it's not nearly as widespread as it used to be. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his mat, he had a program of long program. And then during the day, all day, engaged in Krishna consciousness. Those who lived in the mat, they would be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness all day. So in that sense, they were the same as the Babajis. The Babajis all day engaged in Krishna service. And the members of the Gauriya Math also, they're all day engaged in Krishna service. But apart from just doing bhajan, like the Babaji's, they'd sit and chant many rounds, do a lot of kirtan, and then maybe study shastra. You still see sadhus. They wander from place to place, or they live in one place, and they do that all day. In South India, you don't see so many sadhus like that. But in North India, you'll see. Yeah. They'll be in doing something, either reading or chanting. Their whole day will go like that. And they'll live very, very simply. That they take pleasure in that, or that's just their normal way of life. It's expected. That the Babaji's, they beg from others to live, but they live very, very simply and austerely. And they don't keep money in the bank, or they don't keep money anywhere. They just beg enough food for one time, that's all. And they eat one time a day, just minimally, and that's it, finished. And what they're going to eat tomorrow, there's no arrangement. They depend on Krishna. And generally the ashrams will be just some very, or if they may live alone in a small kuti, or some very simple ashram, just made, not even built of bricks, just made out of some thatch and grass, like that. So very, very simply, and they choose to live like that, and they like to live like that, and everyone expects them to live like that, because they're sadhus. And that's how sadhus live. And maybe not only, not just sadhus, but some brahmanas, they live like that also. They used to live like that. Srila Prabhupada, he said in one lecture about, there was one brahmana householder, and the king of the area came to see him and saw how he's living just with his very broken down house. And the king offered to help him. "Do you need anything?" "No, no, I don't need anything." "How are you living?" He said, "Well, I have my disciples, the young boys." Traditionally, the brahmanas would teach the young boys. They go out and beg some rice every day. And we have this tree, sajana, this drumstick tree. So we take the leaf from the tree and we cook that and we live. And he didn't want anything. You want to give anything? No, he doesn't want. Because they want to live like that. They expect to live like that. And they're not making plans what we'll do tomorrow, how we'll live, and then the rainy season is coming, okay, put a little more grass on the roof, that's all, like that. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had a different kind of sadhu, and that they would live in pakka buildings, means brick-built buildings. And he would drive in a car. In those days, hardly anyone drove in a car. Even when I came to India, if you come in a small town, I didn't come to Vellore at that time, but you wouldn't see cars. In the mid-1970s in Vellore, I doubt if you'd even see cars at all. Hardly. Anyway, in Calcutta there were traffic jams, but that was... private cars were very few. Private car means a very rich man. There were taxis and traffic jams with rickshaws and everything. So he would go in a car. He would dress as a sadhu, but very, very poshly for functions like that. And he would meet big, rich people. And the Babaji's criticized. What kind of a sadhu is this? This is not a sadhu. But actually, just like the Babaji's, he was fully and intensely engaged in devotional service. And he he had his disciples also fully and intensely engaged in devotional service. But they would collect money, they would build buildings. So it was a different approach. But it was for the same purpose. Or rather, their purpose was to preach the same thing. Jagannath Das Babaji showed the ideal of anyabhilashita shunyam, of not cultivating any desire other than to serve Krishna. And sometimes people would misunderstand that Bhakti's done so, sorry, he's building all these buildings and mixing with big people. But he was demonstrating the same principle and teaching people how they could live their life like that also. Because what happened, there's to be a Vaishnava meant that you could either be a householder or a Babaji, that's all. And mostly those who were trying to be Babajis, they were not doing very well. They were failing. It became practically a normal thing that many Babajis had girlfriends, widows like this, or women who had been thrown out of the house for not behaving properly, for being adulterous. So they had Seva Dasis, as they were called. It sounds religious, but it's quite irreligious what they were doing. So it was difficult to get good association among the Babajis, and even if you did, it was difficult to come up to their level. Like Gaur Kishore, he didn't train people to go up step by step. He said, "You want to join me? Okay, then be like me." But they can't. So they would fall down. So the Babajis, they demonstrated the ideal of tivra bhakti, intense devotional service, not making any arrangement for food, eating very simply, fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And the householders, they could also be devotees, of course, but there was very little guidance for them how to advance in devotional service. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur set up the Gaurya Math, in which people could, under his guidance, take to devotional service and make gradual advancement. But not so gradual. I mean, it was intense also. Bhakti is intense. That was the whole principle that Jagannath Das Babaji, Gaur Kishore, they lived clearly very intensely absorbed in devotional service. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made that intensity available to everyone, that of course not everyone can immediately fully chant Hare Krishna and all day and night. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati himself could, he was doing so, but then later, to make it available for others, he came out of that. He was living like a Babaji, although he hadn't been formally inducted as a Babaji, but he came out of that situation, took sannyas, and preached in the world. So he made Krishna consciousness available, that people can live in mats and full-time engage in Krishna service. They may not be directly hearing and chanting all the time, but they may have to go out and preach. That was a major activity. Collection, that was a major activity, because they were always organizing a new festival or building a new temple, and collection was always required. And then naturally people would ask, well, why should we give money? Then they have to start to preach and distributing books and magazines like this. So he kept everyone busy. And of course, preaching means we're mostly preaching to householders, because most of the people in the world are householders. So he engaged them also in Krishna consciousness. So the initiated devotees in the Gaurya Math, they were they were expected to follow at a very high level, that or what we nowadays would consider a very high level, that they would of course, being householders, they would have some work and family, but they're expected to spend a lot of time at the mat and join in the temple programs, do a lot of service, because after all, everyone has to go back to Godhead, and go back to Godhead by absorption in Krishna consciousness. And absorption in Krishna consciousness comes by practicing Krishna consciousness. You can't say when you leave the body and you have so many material desires, and then you say, but I want to go back to Godhead, but you have so many material desires. Well, I was a householder, but that doesn't count. One has to become purified. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave that program in which he was giving the opportunity to householders to associate with the devotees in the mat and to spend a lot of time every day. They're expected to spend morning and evening at the mat, engaging in activities and hearing and chanting along with the devotees. Because otherwise what happens is that, you see, people see the ideal of Jagannath Das Babaji and they think, well, that's it, that's really it. And they see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and they think, no, that's not really it. He's living comfortably and living in a mat and talking all this philosophy and chastising others. Nah, that's not the real devotee. Jagannath Das Babaji, he's the real devotee. He's renounced, austere, doesn't disturb anyone. He's living very simply, just doing bhakti all the time. Whereas Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, not very impressed. They may think like that. We want to be like, the real thing they may think is to be like Jagannath Das Babaji. So, and then they try and imitate, but they don't succeed, actually. By trying to imitate the Paramahamsas, you don't go anywhere. We have to not imitate, but serve their ideal. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was criticized for taking sannyas, but he said, we've taken sannyas to serve our guru who's a Paramahamsa. We don't consider ourselves on the same level. So, sannyas is not the highest stage. Beyond that is the stage of a Paramahamsa. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a Paramahamsa, but he took the role of a sannyasi. The role of a sannyasi is within Varnashram. Paramahamsa is above Varnashram. But the point he was making is, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was making, is that you can't become a Paramahamsa simply by wishful thinking, simply by putting on the robes of a Paramahamsa. You don't become a Paramahamsa. Srila Prabhupada, there's one place he was criticizing these Babajis in Vrindavan. In the winter, they'll collect some old pieces of some scattered piece of wood and make a fire, which is not surprising because it's quite cold. But Prabhupada is making the point, you're supposed to be a Paramahamsa. You're supposed to be beyond all these things. You just cold, heat, you just tolerate it all. And if you're so advanced, you hardly even notice. Like Raghunath Das, he was standing in the hot sun on the banks of the Radha Kund, not even noticing that it's so hot that anyone else would have fainted. And there's a tiger coming next to him to drink some water. He didn't even notice all these things. So that narration is given. That then Radharani came to hold some cloth over his head to shelter him. And after that, Sanatan Goswami, and Raghunath Das, he didn't even know there's a cloth over his head, there's a tiger. He didn't even know. He was just absorbed in thoughts of Radha and Krishna. But Sanatan Goswami, and he found out and said, okay, now you have to build a cottage to live in. He didn't have any place to live. But now you build a cottage, so you do your bhajan there. Don't disturb Radharani. So, yeah, you can't just, by wishful thinking, become Raghunath Das. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave a process by which people could gradually make advancement. And it may appear that the acharyas who live in the world, they're working, building temples, they may appear to be somewhat materialistic because they're involved with matter. Money, people, dhan, jan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, na dhanam, na janam. I don't want all these things. But we find our own Srila Prabhupada, the faithful follower of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was very interested in money. He wanted money. He was very involved seeing the bank account, where's the money coming from. He would make policies for BBT, they should send money this much, whatever the printing cost is, you mark it up so much, and out of the profit, this much should go for printing books, this much should go for building temples. He was very much concerned with money, and his whole mission was concerned with people, followers. He wanted to bring more and more people, but that was for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it's very different from Jagannath Das or Gaurakisha. Jagannath Das Babaji, once one of his disciples gave him 1 rupee, which in those days is, it's difficult even to compare because there weren't all these consumer goods available, but you could say it's like, I don't know, 10,000 rupees now, something like this. So he took the 1 rupee. Then Bihari Das carried him off, and after they'd gone some distance, he said, take me back to that disciple. And gave it back. He said, the bite I'm getting from, he said, you're a rich man, you have many thousands of rupees. The bite of this rupee, having it with me, like the bite of the bugs. So this rupee has been biting me. There's 1 rupee. I cannot tolerate it. I don't know how you can tolerate so many thousands of rupees. Whereas Srila Prabhupada, he was, yes, bring. Money is troublesome, there's no doubt. Actually, if you want to live peacefully, then you can live just like a Babaji. And don't worry. Just don't worry. It's much easier. Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Food comes, you take it. Doesn't come? All right, don't worry. We didn't get today, then tomorrow it will come. That's all. You can live very peacefully and very happily. You might be hungry sometimes. Generally by Krishna's arrangement, something will come. But as soon as there's money, there's a headache. Even if it's for Krishna, it's a headache. It's a source of anxiety. And where there's money, there'll be Kali. The personality of Kali will create some dissension. So why did the acharyas deal with money, people, buildings, all these things? And not just people, but just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't want to see Prataparudra Maharaj because he's a king, worldly person, Vishayi. Vishayanam, what is that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that verse is there. What is that verse? Nishkinchana. Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajanon Makasya Parang Parang Jigamisho Bhavasagarasya. What's the next line? Ata Vishayanancha Ha Hanta Hanta Visha Bhakshanatopya Sadhu Yoshitam. He mentions for someone who's renounced the world to have contact with a woman or a materialist is worse than drinking poison. But Srila Prabhupada was involved with men and women, and he would meet big leaders of the world, money, all these things. So, why is that? They don't seem to be very spiritual. But yes, very spiritual, because they can touch all these things and not be touched. They can use all these things in the spirit of yukta vairagya, anasaktasya vishayam yataham upayunjataha, nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya mucchate. Without being attached to these things, they can use them in the service of Krishna. So we should know what is spiritual and what is not spiritual. And we should also know our position, that we're not on the level of Jagannath Das Babaji, and we just can't do a pole vault into and come up to that level very quickly. You have to go gradually, step by step. We should also know that we're not on the level of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, just if you hadn't noticed. We're not on the level of Srila Prabhupada. So we have to be very careful dealing with all these things. Srila Prabhupada, he was in the dress of a sannyasi, but the mentality of a paramahamsa, no personal attachment. But we have material attachment. So we have to use all these things in Krishna's service, but we have to be very careful. We can neither fully renounce them, like the Babaji's, nor can we fully embrace them, as Srila Prabhupada did, in Krishna's service. So we always have to remember. Means that Srila Prabhupada could deal with all these things and not be in the slightest bit affected. There's one narration, one of his disciples brought one necklace of rubies. There must be one. Very, very expensive. He put it on Srila Prabhupada. He was talking with Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada gave it back, because he gave it back to him. You sell it, use the money for Krishna. He wasn't attached at all. Use it all for Krishna. So we should not imitate. Anukaran, anusaran. These words are there. Anukaran means imitation. Anusharan means to follow in the footsteps, take shelter. We should know all these points, that actually we praise the preachers of Krishna consciousness even more than the Babaji's. That doesn't mean someone like me or you, preacher, but the real great acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for their mercy in bringing the gifts of the acharyas to us. They are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, yet they move in the world also. So we also have to move in the world and not be affected by it. We can't just leave the world. I mean, there are Babaji's even today. If you go to Puri, Vrindavan, you'll find Babaji's. Many of them were in ISKCON previously. But they decide it's too much trouble, let's go and be a Babaji. Navadvip also. I went to the ashram last year of Vanshidas Babaji in Navadvip. And there's a Baba is sitting there with a long beard and long hair, looking something like Vanshidas. And he told me, oh, I used to be in ISKCON also. So they liked that. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't like it. He wasn't impressed by all of this. So they should come and do some why they want to be like this Babaji. They should come and do some service for the preaching mission. Do something to, now is the time to spread the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rather than imitating Jagannath Das Babaji. So it might seem like that, that like life in ISKCON is so much trouble. Not so many become Babaji's, more they join Gauriya Mats. They think, you know, it's too much trouble in this, I'll go and join the Gauriya Mat. And they find it's the same thing there, just on a different scale. And among the Babaji's also, there's so much tension between all the different Babaji's. One Babaji is trying to show they're a better Babaji than the other. Gokul Chandra Prabhu told me that someone from Croatia, they went to one Babaji in Radhakund who gave them initiation on the spot and told them, this is your Siddha Swarup. Then he went to the other side of Radhakund, met another Babaji who also gave him initiation on the spot. He'd just been initiated half an hour earlier and told him his Siddha Swarup, which was completely different from the other one. So Srila Prabhupada told us our Siddha Swarup, Jiva Swarup, Hare Krishna, Nitya Das. We're all servants of Krishna. So we have to know how to serve Krishna. I was just thinking of this project. It reminded me of those descriptions of the early days in the project in Juhu, in Bombay, in Mayapur, in Vrindavan. It was very difficult for the devotees because, in so many ways, because they had to deal with, you know, cement and sand and bricks and steel rods and negotiate the price and bring them out to the site and then sleep on the steel rods at night so no one would steal them and all things like this. And many devotees, they didn't like to stay. They liked to go away. But those who stayed, they were able to assist Srila Prabhupada in developing those projects, which have been instrumental in establishing our movement. And ISKCON wouldn't be what it is today if Srila Prabhupada hadn't had the vision to establish those centers. And it was very difficult. And nowadays it's much easier because we don't sleep on the steel rods at night. We have people who help us in the construction and so many things. So in many ways it's easier, but in many ways it's a struggle also doing a big project with not so many devotees. So, but it may not be palpable at the time, but there is a lot of mercy to be had there. A lot of mercy to be had in developing a project that will automatically provide a facility for so much preaching. I remember Jayapitaka Maharaj told me years ago that when the building was being built there, there was so much struggle, but Srila Prabhupada said, once you've built this building in Mayapur, then you won't have to go anywhere. You can just stay here and so many people will come that you can preach. Although, actually what happened, he was staying there to oversee the construction. When the building was built, he started traveling all over the world. And of course, he spends time in Mayapur also. But that's a fact. If things go as we expect them to, and of course in this material world anything can happen at any time, but it should be that when this temple here is built, that doesn't mean you won't go anywhere to preach, but you can just stay here and preach because so many people will be coming. And actually many of our centers in India, so many people are coming that we can't properly deal with them all or preach to them all. There's so many people coming. It's like in Juhu, so many people coming all the time. But as a result of that, when we go out all over the country, then people, they remember, oh, we saw you. Or My cousin told me that they've been to your temple, very nice temple, and then they buy books and they like to take up Krishna consciousness like that. So, stick it out. You could go and sit under a tree and make yourself a Babaji. But Srila Prabhupada would be more pleased if you go out in the city and request people to help with this project and take up Krishna consciousness in various ways. Another point I didn't mention is that people generally expect the Babajis to, or sadhus in general, to have some mystic power. People bring their child is sick, and then they bring them to the Babaji, and the Babaji looks at the child, and the child gets better, and all this kind. People expect that. Some mystic things. Our recent acharyas, especially the Vaishnava line, that may be there, but we don't. That's not our specialty. That's more for Sai Baba and all this. They do all that kind of thing. Of course, he's just a cheater in every way. Christians, they make a big thing out of that, right? Jesus used to heal people, and the saints, they have to heal someone. In the Catholic Church, if you're going to be a saint, after your death, there have to be some miracles. Then only you can become a saint. You can't become a saint while you're alive. Only after you die can you be recognized as a saint. And there has to be some miracle. That means that someone puts a picture of the departed person on the head of their dead child and it comes back to life, or something like that. Something like that. I don't know if they actually bring them back to life, or their child is crippled, and then by saying the name of Mother Teresa, Mother Teresa, Mother Teresa, and then they can walk, or something like that. It's supposed to. I'm not saying that happened, but that's the kind of thing they have to do. But that isn't our stock. As Srila Prabhupada was once asked, that can you do miracles? And Prabhupada, he pointed to all his Western disciples. These are my miracles. So that's a fact. Hare Krishna. What do you think, Bala? Can you do miracles? You can touch people and all their sickness goes away? I think you have to do more bhajan, and you'll get more strength. Rasa Yatra in Rasikananda, that was the main one. And traditionally Gauriya Vaishnav culture has put a lot of stress on Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, especially the Ras Leela. That's, if you see the Bengali songs, the traditional songs that are sung, they're mostly on this theme, the theme of Gita Govinda, which is Rasa Leela. So that was there. But our recent acharyas have been much more cautious, seeing that people are less qualified. Rasikananda was preaching by making festivals with like dances and dramas of Krishna's Ras Leela. That's still very prominent in Manipuri Vaishnava culture. Srila Prabhupada stressed more, you're not the body. Surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai. Srila Rasikananda Deva ki jai. Hare Krishna.